T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Monday afternoon, it is back to reality for many of us. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and I'm sure you noticed this morning traffic was a little different than it was last week. And I'm sure you're going to notice that traffic this afternoon is going to be a little more crowded and congested than it was last week. Hey, the Saints beat the Falcons Thanksgiving night. LSU beat Texas A&M, and I loved watching that. And I couldn't help but think, and I mentioned this earlier, I couldn't help but think about all the people that thought Jimbo Fisher was the answer for LSU. We've got to get Jimbo Fisher, man. We've got to get Jimbo Fisher. And some people were really upset that he went to Texas A&M. Oh, my God, he went to Texas A&M. They're in the SEC now. They got Jimbo Fisher. Man, I was never worried about it. I think he's been very, very overrated as a coach. And I don't know what it is about him, but I don't like the guy. So I don't think he's that great a coach, and I don't know, I just don't care for his body language. I know that's not a really good reason to not like somebody, but you know how you like somebody or you don't? Well, I don't like the guy, and I'm glad I was glad he didn't come here. And it looks like Coach O was a much better decision than Jimbo Fisher, so I really enjoyed seeing him get his pants beat off in that game over the weekend. And then LSU plays Georgia in Atlanta for the SEC championship. Now, LSU travels really well. Great fan base, travels well. So even though the game is in Georgia, this is not going to just be a Georgia crowd. No, there will be a lot of LSU fans there that will make it seem like it's a local crowd for LSU as well. And there are a lot of people I know who want to go to that game and want to go to the Saints 49ers game the very next day here in New Orleans. And that would be tough. I mean, what time is the SEC championship? Somebody send me a text very quickly. Let me know what time the SEC championship is. If it was in the afternoon, I guess you could technically make it, but you'd be tired. If it was at night, the kickoff for the Saints and the 49ers is noon, Sunday. Okay, it's at 3:30 Eastern time. So it's at 2:30. Okay, well, okay. So the game will be at 1 o'clock Eastern time. So you would leave there. I guess you could leave there after the game and drive here. You can make it here. What, 8 hours to Atlanta, I guess? Some people would be tired, though. But I guess there are going to be some people who are going to do it, and some people will fly. By the way, if you flew in or out of the new airport this weekend, I hope the experience was very, very pleasant. If you're just tuning in, I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. I hate talking about what we've really had to talk about today, which is the mass shooting on Canal Street over the Bayou Classic Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And this was part of the Bayou Classic crowd that was out Saturday night into Sunday morning. And the mass shooting that weekend got national attention. It was all over the national news. What disturbed me were a few of the posts on my Facebook page, SOTA, when I posted the story about what happened, 10 people injured. And Steve commented, typical for the Bayou Classic, it happens each and every year. Ron says, unbelievable, every year, very sad. Paul said, Scoot, I'm sorry, but this happens every year on this weekend. All of those are false. That's not true. The last time it happened was 2016. And it was two people from out of town who came here. They were part of that crowd. And they were continuing an argument over a woman. And they started shooting at each other. They killed one person, injured 9 others. This doesn't happen every year. I remember coming on the air many years after the Bayou Classic saying, you see, it was a peaceful weekend. But boy, the minute something happens, people are so quick to blame it on the Bayou Classic. And I just don't. I don't think that's fair. It's easy. It fits into the narrative. It fits into the political tribalism of the thinking of many people. And I think it's sad and it's unfair. It's also fair to say that there are a disproportionate number of people who are prone to violence, who are prone to have a gun with them and to use a gun to settle a simple dispute. And there were other shootings around New Orleans this weekend, too, that weren't even related to the Bayou Classic. There was a family gathering over the weekend, and was it two cousins that shot two cousins? And these, you know, and people are upset, and they're crying. How does this happen? What leads to this mentality? This, again, a disproportionate number of people do this. And it's not fair to blame the whole group. It's not fair to blame everybody in the community. But it happens. It's fair to address it. And the problem is that politicians and leaders, as I've said so many times, don't want to address the real problem, which is just the fundamental rules for leading a successful life. The fundamental rules for trying to be happy. It doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. But the excuses have to stop. And I know the mayor and I know the police chief really want to do something about this. But I don't know about you, but when I continue to hear New Orleans is not going to tolerate this, enough is enough. When I hear those kinds of phrases, it's like white noise. It's a cliche. Because this is what's said after every shooting. And on a national level, when there's a national shooting, the same people are saying the very same things. And nothing really changes. And nobody seems to really address the problem of human behavior and some of the basic rules that should be part of bringing a child into this world. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we're talking about, if you want to talk about the Saints or LSU, I'll talk about that too. Saints are a 3-point favorite over the 49ers. It was nice to see them get beaten up by the Ravens yesterday in what some people believe might be a preview of the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. San Francisco is really, really good on both sides of the ball. I feel good about the Saints. And, man, what a game this is going to be. Saints and the 49ers. But if you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Metairie, Mike, welcome to WWL.
Afternoon, Scoot. I'm kind of a little tired of excuses and blaming to myself, but I have a different take on discussion of certain subgroups of people, such as the community that looks for empowerment through a gun, or answers, who uses guns to answer disputes, or like you mentioned about the over disproportionate of white young males who do mass shootings at school who are mentally ill. Mm-hmm. We always tend to blame these subgroups in our society, and we fail to, on a consistent basis, to blame American society. Not right. The subgroups. We have a love affair with violence. We have a love affair with guns. I'm not talking about gun control, because that's never going to happen. What I'm saying is we have more guns than we have people. And there's going to be gun violence in this country. Quit blaming subdivisions, subgroups. Look in the mirror and ask ourselves as a country what we're willing to tolerate for our love or feeling or you know, legitimate right to have guns. I'm not here to talk about gun control. I'm not. But we have a disproportionate amount of guns than we have people. We're going to have gun violence. And real quickly, you know, as we're talking about certain things that happen in this country that don't happen in other places, we're coming up in about 10 days of actually two major anniversaries that happened that point to what I'm saying. One is coming up first would be John Lennon's death. John Lennon was killed by a crazed fan with a gun.
Right.
George Harrison, somebody broke into George Harrison's house with a knife. Mm-hmm. Nobody died. Coming after, the next anniversary is Sandy Hook, coming up in a few weeks. People tend to forget, in the same day on the other side of the world, but on the same day as Sandy Hook, a person with a machete got into a school in China and attacked 23 people. Nobody died. Same day as Sandy Hook, where a guy went into a school with a gun and 20-some people died. All I'm saying is, again, I'm not talking about gun control, but it's an American problem, and we need to start looking in the mirror to find out really where the answer is going to come from.
Well, and one of the problems, Mike, is that I think people, because of political correctness, I think there are far too many people, and there are too many people in positions of power that could really manifest change. I think there are too many people who are afraid to address the real issue, which is a basic lifestyle issue that has nothing to do with color, but it has to do with just the basic human elements of living a safe life and being happy. And you know, you've got a disproportionate number of whites committing mass murder at schools and in public settings that we often talk about. And you can't blame that on race any more than you can blame the mass shooting over the weekend here in New Orleans on race. There's no information that says skin color makes you violent. None, zero. But it is about human behavior. But we're afraid to address it because if a disproportionate number of blacks are involved in this, then we as a society are afraid to address the real problem. And the real problem is simply that there are rules to life that transcend race. And those rules need to be followed if you want a safe society. If you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. All right, so there's a mobile phone company that conducted a survey of British listeners, and they asked them to choose which was the most annoying Christmas song of all time. Was it Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time? Was it Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? Was it Wham's Last Christmas? Or was it Mariah Carey's 1994 hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You? Mariah Carey was the big winner. I mean, really, why just settle for you? I want more than you. I mean, I want you, and I want a couple of things in my stockings, and I want a couple of other things as well. Anyway, I was kind of surprised because I think out of those songs, I'd have to say, I don't know. Yeah, maybe this is the most annoying. I kind of actually do like the song because it's one of the final scenes in one of my favorite movies, Love Actually. In fact, it's a time of year to start talking about that movie. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're coming right back on WWE. Yes, the boys are back in town. We were there at 2 o'clock in the morning when the Saints returned from the win against the Falcons. It was amazing. Come on, spread the word. Sunday, Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Saints, 49ers. But yeah, we were there with a video, doing a video of that. It's on our Facebook page, WWL Radio. I shared it on the SOTA Facebook pages as well. And it was just exciting to be there and to see fans there, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And fans are out there greeting the Saints. And it was so cool because the Saints are coming out there. Some of the players are honking their horns. Drew Brees is driving his Tesla. Yeah, you know, Drew Brees got a Tesla. And some of the players have their windows down, and they're actually doing video on their phones of the fans greeting them, which I thought was really kind of cool. President Trump gave a shout-out to Senator Kennedy from Louisiana for handling Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd on Meet the Depressed. I mean, Meet the Depressed, that's kind of cute. But, you know, Senator Kennedy is back on this kick about this conspiracy theory about it was Ukraine and it wasn't Russia. I have a feeling that conversation's not going to go away. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about that as well. If you do want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. By the way, if you don't know this, yes, they are still trying to impeach President Trump. From New Orleans, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Scoot, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir.
Listen, we have a trifecta of stupidity. I am a 63-year-old black male. We don't want black people to tell the police when something happens. We don't want to teach our kids conflict resolution, and everybody wants to solve their problem with a gun. So that whole myriad is going to continue to that vicious cycle. At some point, since we tend to be shooting each other the most right now, we need to address it. We can't keep our head in the sand, act like it's not us. It's a problem. And that problem goes back to being home, not being trained. I fought when I was a kid. I lost some and I won some. But I lived to fight another day because I was taught that at home.
Right.
But, and now that this, you know, if you tell the police who shot somebody, you're a snitch. Once a person decides that he or she is going to disrupt my neighborhood by killing everybody, you know what? I'm telling on them. That ain't a snitch. It makes you keep everybody else healthy. But we don't want, we've taught this in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our homes. We got to change the thing.
Well, it has become a cultural thing. But what do you say to those people who realistically say, look, Anthony, man, if I snitch, my life is threatened? What do you say to those people?
Your life's in danger either way. If they're gonna, if these people are not going to respect the neighborhood, they got to go.
It's
you
true.
Know, I miss people like my grandmother because if I did something stupid when I was coming up, I couldn't go to Tulane and Broad, get arrested, and call her because that phone call would have been like this. I'll come down there and shoot you myself. We've changed that concept that I was afraid. This is what we were told when we were at home. Don't go out here and mess up my name. That's what we were told. What happened to that? Don't mess up my name. You come in this world, you have a responsibility. You do not mess up my name. Now we got mamas bringing the kids to places with a gun to shoot people. That's crazy, man. At some point, we got to look inside our homes, make some serious decisions, and stop pointing fingers. We make up 13 to 14% of the population with 80% of people in jail. And the bottom line is there racism in the criminal justice system? Yes, there is. But there's also a lot of stupid black people doing a lot of stupid things. And when a white person says it, everybody gets up in arms. But we got to check ourselves.
Anthony, I appreciate the call.
Take care, man.
All right, I appreciate that. That's my whole point. And somehow it doesn't come out right in the minds of a lot of people for a white guy like me to be saying these things. But if you listen to this show, you know that I don't judge color. I don't judge based on religion, gender, sexual orientation. That's a consistent thing on this show. The problem is there are basic rules to life. And children, having children and not being parents, and children coming into this world that are not loved, not taken care of, that's nobody's fault except the parents. Nobody's fault except the mother, and even if the father's not involved. I'm not going to insult single mothers by saying that you have to have a father at home. I mean, it's great if there's a father at home, but sometimes maybe it could be an uncle. Sometimes it could be a friend. It could be a mentor in the neighborhood. The problem is everything is not us versus them. And so often it seems like that's the simplistic equation. It's us versus you. It's not. There are things that are required to be successful in life. And one of them is you have to have hope. And you can hope for a lot of stuff that you're not always going to get. I didn't get everything I wanted. I don't have everything I want today. All of my dreams did not come true. But I still wake up every day with the hope that, you know, so even more is going to happen with me. And if a child doesn't have hope, that's not the child's fault. It's the fault of the parents, the community. And I can't imagine what it would be like to live life thinking that I'm not going to live past 25 because of statistics. And those statistics point to a reality that there are a disproportionate number of young black males with guns, and they're prone to use those guns to settle any dispute whatsoever. And it appears as if the shooting on Canal Street was resulting from a feud. In the same way that the last shooting, Bayou Classic Weekend, November 2016, two guys had a feud over a woman. They were arguing the dispute started long before Bayou Classic weekend. They brought it to New Orleans. They ran into each other in the 100 block of Bourbon, and they opened fire on each other. They missed each other, but they hit 10 other people. One was killed, 9 were injured. And the other thing that I have mentioned, the idea that young teenage mothers, when they're pregnant, are just acting like teenagers. They're not putting anything good in their bodies, whether it's food or drugs or whatever. If you don't take care of your body when you're pregnant, the child that you give birth to may be at a have a health and mental disadvantage in this world. And that's nobody's fault, except the person that didn't take care of themselves when they were pregnant. These are the issues that nobody seems to want to address. The issue of just animalistic sex. People don't want to address this because it somehow taints a race of people. It's not about race. It's about behavior. No child should raise a child. No teenager can raise 2 or 3 kids. And we have a system that rewards the behavior that should not be acceptable. And this is not about gun control. I wish it were that easy. This is about responsible behavior and a tendency, generation after generation, growing up with a tendency to think that a gun is the answer. And it's not. And if more was talked about when it comes to having sex and protecting oneself from a consequence from sex, which is either pregnancy or disease. And if you look at the sexually transmitted disease rate, it's going up. Do you know what that means? It means people aren't paying attention. People don't care. And by the way, this is with people over 60 as well. We're learning a lot about that too. Seniors are still active these days, more so than in the past because of some medical technology and the pill and the other pill. And they're not thinking about safe sex. And so you kids with grandparents who are out there sexually active, you need to talk to your grandparents about this. Tell your grandparents to practice safe sex. All right, if you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. All right, I want to come back and I'll get to another call or so, but also I want to go through a few more of the sacks, the Saints and the sacks that took place in the game against the Falcons, because, I mean, it was one after another. 9 sacks, 3 takeaways, and Taysom Hill blocked punt. Taysom Hill had a great game, blocked punt, and scored not 1 but 2 touchdowns. Wow. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back on WWL. Hey, I want to thank Cody Walsh Fine Art, Clearview. Every week, I guess, get this really nice poster from Cody Walsh about the Saints and their record and who they beat last. I hope it's a positive one next week. Hopefully the Saints will beat the 49ers. From the Ninth Ward, Dell, here on WWL, good afternoon.
It's good. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
You know, there are several different issues that we face in the black community. One of the things is accountability. We refuse to mark those things that plague us. We don't want those things exposed. You know, we don't want to talk about those things. I am a Pan-Africanist. Now, have you ever heard of that terminology?
No. No.
Okay. A Pan-Africanist is someone who believes in what must be done for black people, must be done by black people. Okay?
Okay.
And most of the things that injure us, such as, you know, out of wedlock births, healthcare for, well, not healthcare, but out of wedlock births, caring for our children, you know, how black women are looking to the government to solve all of those issues. If we ever got back to a true vetting process, meaning that, you know, when a young lady encounters a man, if she had that vetting process where she had to go and see an elder in her family for approval on this young man she's dating, we could narrow that out of wedlock birth a lot. And would it heal our men that who are making a commitment from the beginning? Instead of making a commitment after a child is born, you have so many black men that are not choosing to become fathers. The women are choosing to make them fathers by giving birth to their child. I guarantee you, and test me on this, anybody, don't take my word for it, ask any man who's not married to a woman if the woman who gave birth to his child asked him if he was ready to be a father.
Yeah, that's not something that comes up in conversation at that point.
No, and the sad part about it is most grandparents will meet the father of their grandchild after a pregnancy has occurred, and people are going to hate me for this. But there's no one perpetuating this situation, such as a child having a child, more than the black woman. You don't see too many fathers that are proud that their 16-year-old or 17-year-old or 18-year-old is having a child by some character that they don't know. They're not proud of that. But the black women, who, in my opinion, are government-sponsored terrorists, I don't care how you look at it, how often have you seen a black father on TV saying, "I raised that child the best I know how, and I didn't know he was going to go out and commit this atrocity"?
But there are fathers. There are fathers in the black community that do feel that way, and that do follow through. But I understand the point you're making. You know, I've always been.
No. What I'm saying is, you see more black women that are in the media when something goes wrong with a black young man.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Then you see fathers. Now, is it safe to assume that? Is someone going to assume that there are no black fathers raising kids? Yes, there are single black fathers raising. Yes, they are. You know what I'm saying? It's just that you don't see them in the media as you see black women. Now, think about the Marsha Carter case. The young man that was shot inside of somebody's yard in the Meriden, the guy got arrested. He went to jail. He lost his job. He got indicted, but didn't follow through. And then a month later, he was back in somebody else's yard. When was somebody going to go and check the mother?
Yeah.
When was somebody going to go and check, where's the father?
Well, it has become too easy and too acceptable to blame a myriad of other things for those behavioral conditions.
Well, it all boils down to if we're able to. I had this crazy idea. What if the courts would not entertain any issue of child support unless there was something documented prior to having sex, that the person who you're having sex with knows that there's a possibility he may become a father? So it kind of puts them at a standstill. So if you go through the sex process and you go to a court, and the court says, "Well, do you have documentation? Well, we can't help you. Everything for that child, you got to fend for it on your own. You made the choice to have that child, so you're going to make the choice to raise them."
Well, why was I so different in thinking that if I have sex with this person, I might get her pregnant and I might be a father, and I don't want to do that? Not that I had many people having sex with me when I was young, but I thought about the consequences.
Right, but here's where it falls through. After you have sex with that lady, with a young lady, and she ends up becoming pregnant, your decision to become a father rests in her hands. You follow me? So if you had sex, the condom broke, and it's an accident. Yeah. A decision that you have to become a father is no longer yours. It's hers.
Yeah.
If she chooses to have that child, then she's choosing for you to be a father. if she's choosing not to have it, then she's made a decision for you. You're just stuck.
These are great points, Del. I've had some great calls today. And, you know, this show, talking about this topic, could have gone in any different direction. And I am so proud of the direction that it went in, because we've just had a lot of people talking about the behavior, the human behavior that leads to the situation we're in, as opposed to other things being to blame. I've got a text here that says, damn, Scoot, you've got some truth rolling out of your show today. This is some good stuff. Keep the callers coming. And it's callers like you, and it's you people. It's been a very sane, logical conversation. But when you talk about accountability, the things that you talk about, the things that other callers from the Black community have talked about, are the basic tenets for a successful life. It has nothing to do with race. It just has to do with human behavior. It has to do with because you can't. And look, I knew people who got pregnant, not by me, but I knew girls that got pregnant in high school, and but they only had one. That was it. They didn't have any more.
I've always said that the most difficult position to be in is a white man with a opinion about what was happening with crime in our community, because what you have to say is so limited because you don't want to be called a racist. I understand
that's right.
It, but it keeps you from calling what it is. And what we have people in this community, such as Reverend Raymond Brown, Tracy Washington, and some other black activists that are not helping, because when they see that they've called something wrong. For example, the gentleman who shot Marshall Carter for breaking in the yard, there were activists that went at this man's house and protested for him to lose his gun, for him to get arrested. But then once they understood that this was no accident, this kid has a history of this. Do you think anybody went back to apologize to this man and see about getting his job back? No accountability. But it's people like me. I'm calling McCoon for standing up like this. I'm calling Uncle Tom for standing up. I am a Pan-Africanist. I do not need a white person's help. I do not want a white person's help to deal with the issues of my community. And as soon as the white man stops helping us, their form of help, the better off we'll be. Unfortunately, it's easier for people to jump from a building when they know there's a net below. Remove that net, they're iffy about jumping. It's the same way with getting pregnant. If you remove the net of entitlements, food stamps, remove that from them, and I guarantee you it will change the mindset of the people.
Del, I've got to get to a break here. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I appreciate you taking time to express those thoughts and those opinions. You know, it's not about race. It's about behavior. And there are certain things that you can have as part of your culture, but one of those things isn't having a gun and using a gun to solve an argument, to settle any kind of dispute. I am really proud of the callers that we had on the show today. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.